just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago, and we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6. Wednesday, that means Wildcard Wednesday. You're here, Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in for any artist, any song, anything, Wildcard Wednesday. Now, we'll play them later, 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to talk about sounds that today's kids probably have never heard. Maybe don't even know what they are. And we're also going to talk about movies with twists, like big twists, surprising stuff. So twisty movies, that's coming up. But right now, as you heard, it's Bill Withers, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell does sports for us right here on the Rokan Show, weekdays between 3 and 7 p.m. He hosts and writes the Powell at the Park podcast and blog. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And we love to have Kevin on every once in a while to talk about sports. And let's welcome Kevin to the show. Hey, man, how you doing?
I was like 10 when The Sixth Sense came out, so I completely didn't see that twist coming. I don't know about the rest of you, but that one completely caught me off guard.
Yeah, I'm sure that one will pop up in the conversation for sure. No question about it. How you
Nick,
been?
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
How you been? Good?
Couldn't be better. It's a beautiful time of the year. We got playoff baseball around the corner. Football season's underway, and we're like 6 days away from Blackhawks preseason hockey, so this is a cool time of year.
It is. It is. It's a lot of fun. Lots of stuff happening and going on. You let's talk a little bit about your blog posts here. We got to talk about the Cubs here. As you wrote, it's going to be a fight to the finish for the Cubs. There's no question about it. But they did win last night.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like any time they're going to pull away and completely shut the door on Milwaukee, and even St. Louis is lingering, that division lead starts to shrink a little bit. And they had a 5-game lead just about a week ago, and that was trimmed to 1 game. They win, so it's back up to 2 against Milwaukee. But those have been some high-intensity series with Milwaukee. They're fun to watch, but moving forward, you almost wish the Cubs could have pulled away, similar to what they did in 2016, where they were able to clinch with a couple weeks before the playoffs, and then Joe Maddon really just could rest a bunch of guys, and they were fully healthy. But, you know, it's like last year we saw it pretty much came down to the wire. They didn't close out St. Louis until the fifth to last day of the year. So a lot of relievers and things like that were used in high-leverage moments. And, you know, after that first series, they were a little gassed. So this seems like it's coming down to the wire. Milwaukee is hungry. The hump is the Cubs, and they're trying to get over that hump, and they haven't been able to catch them completely, but it's going to be fun here down the next few weeks or so.
It is. These Milwaukee games are killing me, though, man. I mean, it's just because Milwaukee, they're a good team, man. They got a good lineup. Yeah. They got a very good lineup. They got good pitching. They're just solid all the way around, and they're going to be tough going down the wire.
Yeah, they got a really good lineup, particularly like 1 through 5. There's some, you know, with Yelich and Kane and some of those guys. Those are not easy outs. And the bullpen's got some really good arms, and their starting pitching has done really well too. So they're going toe to toe. The big thing for the Cubs is, can they get Brandon Morrow back? Can they be fully healthy? John Lester left the game with a back spasm the other night. Even Kyle Schwarber's resting. Nothing too serious. It's kind of just a little sore back, but he's missed the past couple of games. So get fully healthy. Find a way to fight and claw and maybe build a little bit of breathing room here over Milwaukee.
Well, you know, and the schedule that they have is doing them no favors here, you know, coming up. And that damn rainout in Washington. And we don't know if they're going to do. Have they announced whether they're going to play tomorrow or not because of the hurricane?
The plan right now is still for them to play. When I left Wrigley last night, I looked on the board that the schedule for all the players, and you know it says show up at whatever for batting practice or for warm ups. Game times at 7, and then it says post game we're flying to Washington. So the plan right now, and Nick, if that does happen, that means they're going to end up with a streak of 30 games in 30 days.
That's insane.
And It's insane that they're going to play in Washington. Joe Maddon wants it to be moved to October 1st, which would be the day after the last regular season game of the season, which I think would make sense for a lot of people. Right now, it doesn't seem like MLB budging. If I had a bet, I would say that this game's going to get either relocated somewhere or just moved to a different date.
But as of now, it is still set for tomorrow in Washington.
Yes, as of now. We'll see if we hear more Wednesday. You know, before Wednesday night's game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's tough, man. I mean, you know, like we were just talking about, they're having some difficulties here and there, and they're not as dominating as we would like them to be, and they should be, because I mean, if you look at this team top to bottom, you know, they should be scoring. I mean, they scored 3 runs last night, but they should be able to score a lot more than that on a pretty consistent level.
No, I think that's a fair point, Nick, and I think that's sort of what the point of Cub fans have been. Really, it feels like all season, because the Cubs have been in first place most of the year. They've had the best record in the National League for most of the year, but it still feels like they haven't necessarily hit their stride and haven't really hit all cylinders. But there's been some injuries. You can look at that. The schedule's been really tough over the past month. And give them credit. Through all that, they still have everything I said. Best record in the NL,
right.
First place, all those sorts of things. But I'm with you, Nick. It does feel like they just have kind of underachieved a little bit this year, despite,
right.
Which is crazy. But that's the state of the Cubs, right? That's how good they are now, where they're in first place and we still kind of expect more. And I think they expect more out of themselves, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was funny. A quick story, Kev. I went to go see my favorite band, Buffalo Tom, last week at Saturday, just past Saturday at the Metro. And I'm friends with the lead singer, and so I got backstage and I was hanging out. And Bill Janovitz, who's the lead singer of Buffalo Tom, they're out of Boston. And Bill is a big Red Sox fan and knows everybody, and he knows Theo. He knows Theo, you know, through this music event that they do every year. And so I was backstage hanging out, and I hung out with Theo. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I've met him a couple times. I met him once before, a few years back, but we were hanging out, and it was funny because it was Saturday night. And, you know, that's when they played the 2 games on Saturday night that went very late.
That's right.
So I'm backstage, you know, talking with Theo and with Joe Shanahan, who runs the Metro, and Bill, and we're all just kind of hanging out talking. And, you know, Theo went up on stage and played, because, you know, obviously, you know, he plays guitar. And he went up on stage and played the song The Seeker by The Who. They covered that and played it up on stage, and it was very, very cool. And so the concert ends, we're backstage talking. Theo's got his phone, and, you know, he's looking at his phone, and he looks at it. We're talking right when Harper hits the home run.
Yeah,
and I won't say on the air what he said about Harper, but it was not kind. It was not kind.
Like, how cool of a moment is that, though?
No,
backstage with Theo.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get better than that.
It was funny too, because, like, you know, obviously he's checking his phone every 2 seconds to see what's going on at the game, and obviously it was like 11:30 at that point, like 11:15 or something like that, and they were still playing. The Cubs were still playing, so it was really funny to see his reaction. Like, he was looking at his phone as the update came in that Harper got the home run.
Well, he's a really cool guy too.
Yes,
I mean, I don't know him all that well. I've had a couple experiences with him, and he's. He just seems like a really cool dude.
Yeah.
And obviously, just from your story alone, pretty much tells you everything you know. So, yeah, I love that story. Yeah, he's
great.
You're really nothing but good things about Theo.
Oh no, he's a very cool dude. And it was funny because, you know, there was a big concert. Fallout Boy was playing across the street at Wrigley that night. And so, like, he's here, and he's like, I got to get out of here. I got to go pick up my kids. They're across the street.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, all right, let's talk about another. Like, we talked to Cubs. It's going to be tight going down. It's going to be fun to watch and exciting and nerve wracking to watch. But let's talk a little bit about the Sox. You've been writing about the Sox. Anything in particular you would like to cover?
Well, you know, I think Michael Kopech's the big story this year, and you know, it's almost like that Bears game there tonight. You go from a real high from this first three or four starts, and then all of a sudden this big deflating news that Michael Kopech needs Tommy John surgery, and that's normally a year recovery, which means he wouldn't be back till next September. They're not going to force him back at the end of next year, so you might as well give him a year plus of recovery. It's a tough pill to swallow for everybody. It's a tough pill to swallow for Michael Kopech, the front office, the fans, of course. For me, selfishly, every time we got to cover one of his games, it was awesome. It was an electric atmosphere. He's big part of the core. Silver lining, he's just 22, 23. 2020 is really the year when everybody's anticipating this team to really compete for a championship. I think next year they're going to be a lot more interesting as well. But he should be 100% and ready to go by 2020. And there's still a full stock of talent and some guys we're going to see next year, including Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. So disappointing news about Kopech, but this is a process. It's a rebuild. And there's still a lot of reinforcements coming next year and plenty of reason to be excited there as well.
Yeah, it was a real shock to hear that, you know. I don't think anybody expected that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, it isn't. Like initially, yeah, it's a gut punch. You're like, wow, I feel awful for this guy. I feel awful for the franchise. But it is also sort of a Tommy John epidemic, which is a whole other conversation. So the amount of pitches being thrown by youth baseball is kind of out of control. So when I hear young pitchers are getting Tommy John, I'm not all that surprised. But yeah, the initial news, it's like, man, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, with a kind of larger perspective type thing, it's not. Considering how hard he throws, considering he's been a pitcher his whole life, it's not all that surprising.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's still not good news for the Sox.
No, it's deflating for sure. But trust the process, like your boy Theo used to say all those years when they were struggling.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the Sox. In episode 21 of your podcast, you talk about the Sox. Did they make the right call not calling up Jimenez? What do you think about that aspect from in the Sox point of view as well?
Well, I would have been fine with either one. I don't mean to be on the fence here, but bringing Michael Kopech up made sense. The big difference here with Kopech is, one, you know, you got a solidified spot in the rotation for him. Plus, with pitchers, it's different. You need to add on innings load every single year. That's part of the development of a major league pitcher. Okay, you go from 120 innings to 150, maybe 180 next year, and then when you're a full-blown major league pitcher, you can throw about 200 innings. That's the process. You're not just going to have a guy jump by 80 to 100 innings. And, you know, the minor league baseball ends about a month before major league baseball does. So, from that regard, it made sense. Plus, Kopech was just dominating AAA. So was Eloy Jimenez. So I'll say this: I think a big reason that, and nobody's really talking about this because everybody's talking about service time manipulation and things like that. I think for Rick Hahn, the general manager in the front office, they know how good Jimenez is going to be, whether they bring him up now or not, or later next year. You might as well see what you have right now, because there are bigger question marks on the current White Sox outfield roster, a depth chart. Guys like Adam Engel, Danny Pulka, Nicky Delmonico. Give those guys reps, because you sort of don't know what you have in those guys, and I think that's how confident the Sox are, Jimenez. It's like, let's just see what we have now. Let's evaluate, and then we can figure out which one of these guys maybe fits into this whole puzzle, and then we'll bring up Jimenez because we know he's going to be great. So I was just fine with Jimenez not getting the call up. And if they did bring him up too, I probably would have been just fine as well, because he looks about major league ready.
So what's the attitude like in the locker room at Guaranteed Rate?
It's upbeat. Everybody's buying in. I remember back when I was out in spring training covering, the spring training clubhouse was just full of a lot of laughter, excitement. I think everybody's feeding off each other, because in over a year, you got all these guys coming from around the league via trades, and all of a sudden you throw them into one clubhouse, and everyone's like, hey, this is great. Like, we're going to be a team to be a force in a couple of years. So not everybody that's a part of this core is up in a big league level yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody understands where the team is. They understand, they're an ascending team, and I think a lot of relationships are being built, things like that. So it's about as good as it can be considering the record.
Yeah.
But I think they all understand where this organization is at.
Okay. Cool. All right, Kevin, hang on. Okay, man.
You got it. Thanks.
Kevin Powell is with us. He talks to us about sports every once in a while, and you can hear him do the sports on the Rokan Show weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. You can check out his Powell at the Park podcast and blog, and follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. Take a quick break. More sports talk with Kevin after this. It is football season. People are very excited about football season, everybody. The NFL has kicked off this past weekend. Bears, we're going to talk about the Bears coming up right here with Kevin Powell. And by the way, we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for Morning Drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And let's welcome Kevin back to the show. Kevin, welcome back, man.
Thank you, and thanks again for having me. I always love this.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a good time. All right, let's talk Bears, and we can talk a little more NFL as well. But heartbreaking loss on Sunday.
Yeah, it really was. It was devastating, and it's a tough one for Bears fans to get over. I've kind of been thinking about this over the past few days here since that loss. I think the big reason it stung was, one, obviously, he played great in the first half, and you blew a 20-point lead. Yes. You blew the lead to Aaron Rodgers, who Bears fans, not a huge fan of Aaron Rodgers because he's done nothing but beat them over the years.
Right.
I think a big reason this one stings is because Matt Nagy came in, you get Khalil Mack. It just felt like sort of a new era, especially the start they got off to. Like, finally, a clean slate for the Bears. They're not being toyed around by with the Packers. And then it was just the same old story. So that one stung a lot. And all that being said, I think the Bears have one of the best teams they've had in a while.
Yeah, there's a lot of good to pull from that game. Well, first of all, speaking of good, let's talk about Khalil Mack. Big move for the Bears. Lots of money involved, and he was a beast on Sunday night.
He was an absolute beast. He showed why he was traded for a couple first round picks, and he got all the tens of millions and hundreds of dollars. He took over from that defensive end position, and he makes the whole defense better. And don't sleep on Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd on the other side of the ball. And for the secondary, the pass rushing he's going to put on quarterbacks, Khalil Mack's the real deal. I mean, an interception, a touchdown, a strip, a sack. The guy had constant pressure. The problem was Green Bay countered in the second half with some different schemes. Aaron Rodgers got the ball out of his hands before Mack even had a chance to get in his face. And Rodgers is so good at getting the ball out of his hands at quick and precise passes. Khalil Mack is the real deal. Bears fans are, actually leaving Wrigley last night. You know, there's always the guys on the street selling, T-shirts and things like that.
Yeah.
There was Khalil Mack T-shirts being sold.
Already.
So I think there's, already. So, and, he's already in the top five in jerseys sold in the NFC in the preseason. So Bears fans are going to love this guy. If you're a great Bears defender in this town, if you're a great player on the defense, you're automatically a fan favorite, and I think he won over a lot of people pretty quickly.
Yeah, no question about it. And he's now the highest paid defensive player in NFL history.
Yeah, and look, I think it's worth it because I think he's a top three defensive player in the NFL right now. So
it was kind of interesting and kind of tragic on Sunday because I saw the highlights. I didn't watch the game. And so I was, taking my evening nap on Sunday night when they were playing. And then I checked my news feed, and early on, the news feed was loaded with people like, oh, my God, the Bears are amazing. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened, and Mack is the Mack attack. And everything was fantastic. And then suddenly the news feed, the tone completely shifted. And you can always tell what's happening on a sporting event by what's happening on your news feed, because people obviously are posting all kinds of crazy stuff. But it started out euphoric and it ended up tragic on my news feed.
It really stung. It was pretty wild. I've never really experienced that game. Look, I cover the Bears and report on them, but when I'm sitting on my couch with my buddies, I'm a Bears fan.
Yeah.
So I grew up a Bears fan. That was a wild wave of emotions, but all that being said, I think this is going to be a pretty good team. There's a lot of good players on this team. It's just you kind of got to look past how much that one hurt and understand that this team is I think, going to win some games or at least be interesting to watch.
What do you think about Monday night against the Seahawks?
I think they've got a very good shot to win. Doug Baldwin, the Seattle's top receiver, has got a knee injury. He's probably not going to play. Bears at home. Seattle's not what they used to be. A lot of those star defensive players they had that they went to the Super Bowls with aren't there anymore. A couple guys still are, but they're not the team that they've been over the past few years. I don't expect Seattle to win a lot of games, but if the Bears don't win this one, because they're entering the favorite right now as the favorites, Bears fans are going to be livid. This is the game they should absolutely win. They're fully healthy. They're at home under the lights at Soldier Field. Seattle's a very beatable team. And yeah. I think the Bears showed enough of what they're capable of that now the expectation's set. They should play how they played in that first half.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because Dan and I came in just in time to hear OB, Hamp, and Cause go nuts.
Yeah.
And Sunday night into Monday morning, I thought the studio was going to explode. If they lose Monday night, we're going to come in. We have to follow them. So we're going to come in, and they're going to be busting. They're going to be busting tables. So.
Yeah, I'd find like a sturdy desk to hide under if they're walking near you or something like that. Maybe hide in the closet. But
right.
Yeah, we get to talk to OB on Ro and Anna's show.
Yeah.
And he was still a little fired up. Those guys get a little fired up. So it's fun to listen, though.
It sort of
makes you feel better, though. If you're a Bears fan and you're ticked off, you're like, okay, well, at least I'm not as mad as these guys.
Yeah, exactly. It was really funny, too, because Dan and I use Studio D and everybody else uses Studio A. And we were doing prep and everything for the show, and OB, Dan was sitting in where he is as the producer, and he had his door open, and I was inside the studio with my door open. We were just getting ready and prepped up, and OB comes by and screams, "How the hell do you get into studio?" Because he couldn't find his way back to Studio A. How the hell do you get back to the studio?
Well, you know what? If you kind of do your first, it's your first time doing a loop at the new station. I kind of get it. I get it.
No,
I
listen, man. I was a rat.
OB had other things on his mind than finding his way back to the studio, like how the Bears lost that game.
I'll tell you what. The first time I actually came here to check out the building, I had no idea where anything was. Like it took me like three or four times before I was like, okay, I got the lay of the land. I know where I am right now. So I totally understand where OB's coming from. But it was so funny because he's completely frustrated about that Bears game now, and he can't get back to Studio A.
To make matters worse,
exactly.
I'm just glad he didn't punch a hole in the wall.
Exactly. And we hope he doesn't do that on Monday. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, Kevin, always a pleasure. People can hear you on the Rokan Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. They can hear the Powell at the Park podcast at WGNRadio.com, and they can check out your blog as well. Follow you on Twitter at KPaul720. And we'll hear you on Afternoon Drive, Kevin.
Thanks so much, Nick. Anytime. Really appreciate
it. All right, buddy. Always a pleasure. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Kevin Powell, everybody. All right. Very, very cool. Love talking sports with Kevin. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and we got the news coming up next right here on 720 WGN.